Good morning, I'm John Carroll in for Debbie Cruz. It's Monday, November 18th. A new study is shedding light on how alcohol use disorder could impact Alzheimer's disease. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Public health officials are reporting an increase in the number of whooping cough cases this year compared to last. There have been 547 reported cases this year compared to 332 in 2023, with a majority of cases reported in teenagers. Babies younger than 1 year old are at greatest risk of getting the disease and having severe complications from it. Health officials say while vaccines are recommended at any age, they are especially important for pregnant women and people who come into close contact with infants and young children. The county's unemployment rate rose slightly in October by 0.2%, bringing it up to 4.7%. But the county is still performing better than the state, which is seeing more than 5% unemployment. This time last year, the county's rate was nearly half a percentage point lower at 4.3%. We're starting the week off with cooler temperatures, but that won't last long. Temperatures are expected to rise up to 10 degrees by midweek. Today, in the inland and coastal areas, temps will be in the mid-60s. In the mountains, it'll be in the high 40s, and in the desert, it's expected to be in the low 70s. No rain is in store for the week. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. One in five adults in San Diego County reports being a heavy drinker, according to county data. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says a new Scripps research study links heavy alcohol use to the most common form of dementia.
New findings from Scripps research are shedding light on how alcohol use disorder could impact Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Pietro Sana is one of the researchers.
We analyzed the brains of humans with Alzheimer's disease and another group of humans with histories of alcohol use disorder, where we can see over and over that alcohol accelerates Alzheimer's.
He says both excess alcohol use and Alzheimer's disease are linked to inflammation. That may help explain how heavy drinking can accelerate the early onset and progression of the disease. The study's results aren't surprising to Kristen Romea, who directs supportive services for Alzheimer's San Diego.
I guess it just further reinforces the things that we're already teaching about diet and exercise. You know, we also educate families on how substances like alcohol impact people differently as they age.
Romea says some risk factors like age and genetics can't be changed, but limiting alcohol use is a controllable factor that could help reduce the risk of cognitive decline. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
South Bay residents who notice a rotten egg smell have a new tool to understand its health risk. Reporter Katie Anastas has more on the latest response to the cross-border sewage crisis.
A new online dashboard updates every 24 hours with hydrogen sulfide readings from San Ysidro and Nestor. The website has guidance on what to do depending on the level. If it's above 30 parts per billion, officials say people should close their windows and use air conditioners. Air Pollution Control Officer Paula Forbis says local leaders continue to ask for federal and state emergency declarations.
We highlighted that despite improving conditions, including repairs to infrastructure, cooler temperatures, and reduced flows, we are still seeing unacceptably high levels of hydrogen sulfide in the community.
The San Diego Air Pollution Control District has funding to purchase 10,000 air purifiers for South Bay households. They plan to prioritize households with children, seniors, and people with health conditions. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
New technology was unveiled late last week in downtown San Diego, aimed at making the area more user-friendly. Reporter Melissa May tells us about how it's supposed to help the community enjoy everything the city has to offer.
The new kiosk was unveiled at the corner of 4th Avenue and B Street.
3, 2, 1.
It has dual-sided digital touchscreens with interactive applications that can transfer information directly to your phone. Christina Bibler is the director of San Diego's Economic Development Department. She says the kiosks have numerous public benefits.
Real-time transit details, access to local businesses, public events, and did I mention the kiosks have free Wi-Fi?
The city is getting the kiosks at no cost through a company called Ike Smart City. The company makes its money from advertising on the kiosks. At least 50 of them are set to be installed in high-traffic areas throughout downtown San Diego over the next 2 years. Melissa May, KPBS News.
Marine Corps Air Station Miramar is known mostly for its jets and other aircraft, but most of the sprawling base is east of Interstate 15, far from its busy airfield. Military reporter Andrew Dyer rode out to the east side of the base with a communications convoy and has more on how the Marines use the wilderness right in their own backyard.
Just picture yourself in a plot of land where there's no infrastructure available, no phone, no cell coverage, no internet. And our Marines here at Comp Squadron have the equipment and the knowledge to be able to set that up for other Marines to do their jobs.
Anthony Johnson is the operations officer for Wing Communications Squadron 38 based at Miramar. The squadron has no aircraft, but like the name suggests, is focused on communication. Its goal is to set up antennas and other equipment across both Miramar and Camp Pendleton. Hundreds of Marines are involved. Over 10 days, they'll trek out across the eastern part of Miramar, setting up their communications nodes and sleeping in the field.
But also we're trying to demonstrate to the Marine Corps, the service, that we can go around the globe, but specifically in the Indo-PACOM region, largely dispersed throughout the region and provide communications for Marines.
Part of the convoy, get inside. Everyone else, stay where you are.
It's the first day of the exercise, and the squadron is packed into Humvees, 7-ton trucks, and a trolley that looks more like something tourists ride around Universal Studios than a military transport. We're a few hundred yards from Interstate 15 and the hum of midday commuters. Marines scatter out away from the camp, find cover, and establish a secure perimeter. First Lieutenant Sophie Sobota is a platoon commander and led today's convoy. Her Marines will establish the site as a base of operations for the rest of the exercise. She says it's important for them to get out into the field to do this kind of work.
You know, at the end of the day, when we do go into conflict, it's going to be important that, you know, the Marines are familiar with being out in this type of terrain, just being out in the elements in general.
Miramar spans 23,000 acres. Most of that land, about 15,000 acres, is east of the 15. The base has had a few lives. It was established as Camp Kearney by the Army during World War I. The Marines took over in World War II and named it Camp Elliott. Miramar was handed to the Navy after the war, then back to the Marines in 1997. First Lieutenant Chandler Bianek watches Marines erect an antenna a few hundred yards from the first base camp. I-15 commuters are again visible from the ridge.
It is definitely weird. It's weird being here and being able to see civilization right behind us. But as Marines, you know, we live in the field. Our main site here, along with another site, can see the freeway, but here in a few days, we're going to be pushing out sites further east.
10,000 Marines and sailors are based at Miramar. The eastern part of the base is also used by the San Diego County Sheriff's Department and San Diego Fire Rescue for training. Marines in the squadron say Miramar is a little unusual for ground-based military operations. Camp Pendleton is larger and more remote. Most Army bases are in more rural areas, but Miramar is surrounded by millions of people. Bianek says, in part, that's what makes it so valuable.
Over here, though, we can set up anything from communications architectures. We have ranges over here. We are conducting exercises using blanks, so we're going to be shooting at each other, I guess. But this is just a great overall terrain to just train in and do marine things in.
Last year, local business leaders saw the eastern part of the base as a possible solution to the homeless issues plaguing the city. They suggested building a housing and ranch complex on the land. The Marines quickly shot the idea down. Squadron Operations Officer Major Anthony Johnson says although the area is undeveloped, it's important for the Marines.
Being a ground-based unit within the Marine Aircraft Wing, we don't fly aircraft. So that training area provides us the ability right in our backyard to go and train.
The Marines of Communications Squadron 38 say the training exercise was successful and they hit all their goals. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Artificial light has disrupted the sleep and circadian rhythms of people. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge says it's also affecting living things that share our urban space.
Just about every creature has to sleep, and sleep patterns respond to light and darkness. One of those creatures is the honeybee. Ashley Kim is a behavioral ecologist and doctoral student at UC San Diego. Kim and her research team did a study in which they kept bees constantly exposed to light that was calibrated to be the same intensity as common street lamps. Kim said the artificial light had an effect on the bees' internal clocks and their behavior.
Over time, throughout our trial, we saw that around days 4 and 5, they started to lose their internal clock rhythm. And then that's when they were like, I don't know when to sleep. And so they were actually taking more naps throughout the day.
Overall, they slept significantly less. Their foraging was impaired. Bees use an activity called a waggle dance to show other bees the way to food. And with little sleep, the dance is affected and their directions can be incorrect. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm John Carroll. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.